A cringe love story always starts with a one-liner.
I went out with a guy whose role models were Jean Genet and Clint Eastwood.
I once went out with this alcoholic, and I guess I just didn't realize he was an alcoholic because he was doing so much cocaine at the time.
I once dated a guy who 3 months after we broke up slept with both his stepmother and his stepsister.
You probably noticed these are all women. That's because cringe love stories are usually embarrassing. And I'm generalizing here, but in my experience, women like telling embarrassing love stories. We bond over them. We like to one-up each other. You did that for love? Well, I did this. And while I'm generalizing, let me also say that, as far as I can tell, the most common cringe love story is the kind that takes place in your early 20s, with a guy not that much older, and you are new at love. It's not your first relationship, but everything about your romantic self still feels on loan from somewhere else. Movies, rumors, your friends. You don't quite know who you are yet when it comes to love, because you're still becoming that person. And everything these early 20s cringe love stories have to teach us, we can learn from a woman from Texas named Julie.
I once went out with a guy who, while we were dating, joined the Hare Krishnas.
So how did he tell you this?
Well, we started going to Prashadam, which is this thing the Krishnas do on Sundays. They have this big feast, and basically it was a way to get free food.
Free food is very important in this story. The reason is that Julie's boyfriend was a squatter. Do you know what that is? For years, in cities all over the country, people have been taking over abandoned buildings and living in them. Squatting. People do it for a lot of reasons. Anti-corporate idealism, adventure, lack of interest in getting a job. Julie's boyfriend was a middle-class kid from New York who, when they met, was squatting in an abandoned warehouse in Austin, Texas, bartering, hitchhiking, and keeping an eye out for free food. Julie, at the time, lived in an air-conditioned apartment and drove an Oldsmobile. She was in her last year of college.
We used to go around whenever I wanted pizza. We couldn't order pizza. We had to go to all the pizza places and ask for mistakes because he didn't believe in paying for anything. And he used to say that when we did that, that I couldn't go in because I looked too much like a sorority girl, which I'm not, but, you know, he said I looked like one.
So, squatter guy meets college girl, a princess, he'd call her, and they fall in love during an AIDS outreach workshop. A lot of cringe love stories take this form. Living on the edge guy meets suburban girl. They move in together to her bourgeois apartment. He takes her on midnight bike rides. She buys him dinner in real restaurants. He spare changes on the corner to take them out for ice cream. And every week, they go to Prashadam to get a free vegetarian meal from the Hare Krishnas.
And then one day he came home and he said he thought he'd like to, after Prashadam, and he said he thought he'd like to go to classes in the morning. They had classes where you could learn more about Krishna consciousness. And I said that was cool. I wasn't really interested in it. So he started going to classes. That's how it started. Then he came home and he wanted me to shave his head, which wasn't that big of a deal. I thought it was actually kind of cute. But then he came home and he had the gear. He had this long white sheath, they call it dhoti. And he told me he was going to start wearing that. And that's when I started feeling kind of weird about it. We started fighting because he had this new belief system. He'd become totally vegan. So we couldn't go to our favorite restaurants because, well, not only was it that he was vegan, but he couldn't go to a place where he didn't know what the emotions of the cook were, like if they were angry, that would get into the food. These were all things he'd picked up in Krishna consciousness.
Every relationship that doesn't work out has some problem that can't be solved. With cringe love, it's an embarrassing problem. And looking back, it's not just the problem that makes you cringe. It's how long the relationship continued after this problem could not have been more clear, not only to you, but also to all your friends. That is, if you weren't hiding it from them.
And all of this was a secret, you know, from all of my friends. Like, I was didn't tell any of them anything. But one day I came home and I had a friend over and John was there, and I walked in and my whole living room smelled of incense, and he turned my bookshelf into a shrine to Swami Prabhupada. There was this big, you know, picture, there was candles, there was scarves. And I said, you know, honey, who's that? And he said, that's Swami Prabhupada. And I'm like, okay. And he said, do you want me to take him down? And gets defensive right away. And I'm like, no, that's cool. I was just wondering who there is a shrine to in my living room. So then later, my friend left, and we just had this huge, huge fight. And it started because he had these beads, and he'd gotten me these beads. And the Krishnas have these, kind of like a rosary, but it's about 20 beads, and you're supposed to repeat this mantra. It's out of hair, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You're supposed to repeat it 20 times, so you do it 400 times a day. So he's decided that if I do this, that I'll be happy, that all this anger I'm having is because I'm not chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. So I take these beads, and I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And he said, why not? Why won't you worship Krishna?
This is the moment every cringe relationship comes down to in the end. The point where one person turns to the other and asks a question like,
why not? Why won't you worship Krishna?
That's because at the heart of the cringe is a fundamental disagreement in the way you see the world. He's Montague, you're Capulet. He's 60 Minutes, you're Felicity. He's Potato, you're Potato, but you just can't call the whole thing off. Because on paper, the relationship seems so romantic. The very things that make you cringe looking back at the time were just challenges on the path to love. And not just any love, the best kind, impossible love.
I mean, there was a point where I wanted to go to law school, and we were talking about moving to San Francisco, and I would go to Bolt, and he would hang out at the airport.
Wait a minute, you would go where, and he would go to the airport?
Bolt, the law school at Berkeley is called Bolt. Oh, okay.
And he would go to the airport. I don't understand.
The Krishnas hang out at the airport.
Right. Julie laughs when she tells this now. She knows this story is one of the funniest things that's ever happened to her, and she loves telling it. She savors every absurdity in the story, and every absurd turn within every absurdity. But when I talked to her a few days after our interview, she said, you know, it's the weirdest thing. After we talked that night, I went home and cried. For Julie, this relationship was the first time she fell in love. John was different from anyone else she'd ever known. When she had to go out of town the first week after they met, she thought about him every minute.
And when I got back, he'd sent me cards from every place in Austin, you know, with my name in them, or with like a poem about me in them. I mean, he just pursued me, and it was just, he was just really romantic and excited. Like, we did not go out for a movie and a dinner ever, I think, the whole time we dated. Not that that's not nice. I mean, you know, that's great and everything. But I remember he wrote me this card from when he went on the hitchhiking trip, and he took a picture of me with him. And the postcard said, you know, hey, cheesecake, thanks for the cheesecake pic. He said, I show it around to the other guys on the, he was actually train hopping at that point, on the train. And he says, it solicits envious grunts of approval, but no one says anything boring like she's beautiful. And I just thought, you know, who would write love letters like this?
She's reciting these lines from the postcard from memory. It's the only love letter she's kept as she's moved from place to place. But then that's part of it. Her love for him is part of what she's cringing about when she looks back.
What's the part of the story that where you cringe most and just think, ugh, why did I do that?
I think it was when I ironed the dhoti.
Remember the dhoti? That's that long white sheath Julie's boyfriend had started wearing. He asked her one day to iron it.
It was 25 feet long, and I ironed the whole thing.
So you did iron it?
I ironed the dhoti.
And what did you say to yourself about why you were ironing it?
I'm in love. I don't know. What do you say when you do stupid shit?
You know, I wanted him to look nice for Temple. I didn't want him to be the bad-looking Bhakta with the uncool girlfriend.
Not wanting to be uncool motivates a surprising number of cringe love stories. I had long talks about cringe love with a few women besides Julie, one of whom once found herself working two jobs to support a boyfriend who spent all day writing in his journal about the affair he was having with someone else.
I mean, the whole situation was pretty ugly. And yet, you know, I was blinded to the ugliness of it because I thought we were so cool. I mean, this guy was, you know, a fast, exciting, shiny train. And, you know, he said, hop on aboard, and I did, and I rode it for all it was worth.
What makes you cringe is not so much that you are in a relationship that now seems ridiculous. It's that you wanted that ridiculous relationship. You got on the train. It was romantic. You were right in there. And you know it could happen again at any time. Who isn't willing to be ridiculous for love?